Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, March 6th, and it is another great week here on Faith and Family. I hope you enjoyed the Ash Wednesday service yesterday, as that will be the Lenten services on Wednesdays. We'll be here at 11 o'clock during the Faith and Family time, but we'll continue the rest of the week our Faith and Family conversations. Today, we are continuing our conversations on the topic of the second article of the Creed, who is Jesus, the work and person, the life of Jesus. We're going to continue our conversations about that this week. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with some of the planners from the National Youth Gathering. They are announcing the theme of the 2016 National Youth Gathering, so we'll talk with them in a little bit. And in the second half, we'll talk with Pam Numla. She's an editor of VBS and Family Materials from Concordia Publishing House about some resources that your family can use during the Lenten season. So I hope you can stick around for that conversation as well. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting the program. To find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, just go to our website, KFUO.org. Look for that sponsor section, the CUW logo there. Click on that. It'll take you to Concordia's page. You can find out all about the programs they have to offer and where they're located. KFUO.org. If you have questions today, you want to email us your questions or give us a call, you can do so. Email is family@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions. Or you can give us a call. The number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Well, it is time to get into our conversation. As promised, we're going to talk about the theme for the LCMS National Youth Gathering of 2016. Joining us in studio today, the Reverend Mark Kiesling. He is the Associate Director of LCMS Youth Ministry and Director of the Gathering Program. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Andy.
Thanks for coming back down to the studio today. It's good to have you back on Faith and Family.
Great to be here, and thanks for the wonderful news that it's going to be 59 degrees here tomorrow.
There was much rejoicing in the studio when I said that. Also, joining us by phone today, we have two students who also serve on that planning team. Morgan, Vitosh, did I get it right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Morgan is a student at Concordia University, Nebraska. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
And also joining us by phone, Zachary Visconti. He's a student at Concordia University, Nebraska as well. Good morning, Zachary.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We're all rejoicing in the warmer weather, although the folks in certain... Now, are you guys in session right now, or are you on spring break?
We're in session.
Very good.
Break starts on Friday, or tomorrow, I guess.
So it's 27 there, so it's a little bit colder in Seward right now than it is here in St. Louis. Not by much. It's 35 here. We're having a heat wave.
Yeah, okay.
Well, how are things going for you all at Concordia in Seward, Nebraska? Morgan, how's it going?
It's going really well. It's been a busy week for me personally. I've had 5 tests, but I'm ready for spring break. That's for sure.
Now, Morgan, what year are you, and what are you studying?
I'm a junior here at Concordia, and I'm studying exercise science for pre-physical therapy, actually. So,
very good, very good. And what? How have you been involved in the National Youth Gathering in the past?
In the past, I went to We Believe in 2010 as a participant. And then last year in San Antonio, I was a young adult volunteer. So
very good. And Zachary, tell us about yourself. What are you studying at Concordia, and what year are you in?
I'm a junior studying psychology in the DCE program. And yeah.
Very good. And what has been your involvement with the National Youth Gathering?
So the We Believe gathering in New Orleans, I was at that as a participant, and then I was actually privileged to go this past summer to San Antonio with my praise band and play one of the nightlife events.
Well, very good. Well, thank you so much for both of you for your time today to step outside of your student responsibilities and help share with us about the development of the theme. Now, Pastor Kiesling, you have been involved with National Youth Gathering for some time now. This is your big assignment, right? Your big responsibility.
So I started participating as a youth in 1992 in New Orleans. So I've attended events there before. In 95, I was also a young adult volunteer serving on a variety of things with the Bible study that took place at that gathering. In 2001, was in another volunteer capacity, and then have had different opportunities on the staff of LCMS Youth Ministry for the last number of ones in 04, 07, 2010, and 2013.
And so now National Youth Gathering is a big responsibility on your plate, right?
Right. So serve as the program director for that. So kind of getting things, you know, started already for 2016 and looking down the road. And so it's always exciting. New energy comes into the process. And of course, we start with our theme selection. So that was great to get that going already.
And how do you go about that, selecting a theme? I mean, what role does the theme play in the National Youth Gathering?
Good question. And that is something that we have always historically with youth gatherings, always started there with the theme. I'm taking opportunities to certainly be in God's Word and looking at past themes, you know, kind of what worked, what didn't, what was able for our young participants as well as the adult leaders to take home with them, and things that were able to, you know, be allowed them to be in conversation about the faith and to learn about the faith, and then to talk about the current youth culture. And so usually that's where we start a conversation around that and really kind of ask the question, what as young people and adults leave the youth gathering, return home, what do we want to have on their hearts and minds and tongues as they leave? And so really kind of start with a conversation around that and then really set that as our basis for then where we develop our theological papers and for our resources for, again, the congregations to be using as they prepare and as for the things that they take home with them following as well so that they're able to stay in community and in God's Word together.
Very good. And that speaks to the purpose of the National Youth Gathering as well. What is the purpose for the gathering?
Absolutely. The Youth Gathering, really, we look at it in two ways. Certainly, it is an event of 5 days, as in 2016, we'll be in the city of New Orleans. But really, we look at to it as a part of the life of a congregation in which young people are being engaged by adult leaders, by people who care for them, their parents, those that are members of the congregation who support them in prayer and also in words of encouragement. And so really, we know that groups that get the most out of their gathering experience are those that take time to be in our resources prior to the gathering, as well as take advantage of the resources afterwards, too. So it's not just about the 5 days, that they are in God's Word, that they have relationships with one another, that they are having conversations about faith and life and how that intersects. And so that way they are able to get the most out of the 5 days at the event itself. And then the 5 days, the thing that always is just great is to see young people coming together, seeing that they are not alone in their faith and that it's not just about their hometown, but it's here we have a church body that cares about them, the adults that care for them, and that we have a church that cares about young people in their life of faith.
Very good. So recently, as you said, one of the first steps in preparing for National Youth Gathering and planning is developing the theme. So a group assembled. Where did you all get together?
We actually got together in the host city of New Orleans back in January.
And back in January, went to New Orleans. So it was probably a little bit warmer there
than
here,
It was unseasonably cool for them, but it felt great to us. So.
But how about you, Morgan? Was it nice to go to a little bit warmer place to and be in the setting?
Yeah, it was wonderful. I've been in New Orleans before with the gathering in 2010, but it was nice to be back and nice to be in the, you know, in the vicinity and the hotels that are going to be used for the gathering. So, and it was warm, so it was nice.
Zachary, what do you think the community has to offer? I mean, you were there for part of the planning, you know, this first step in planning and being in New Orleans. How does New Orleans serve as a site for the National Youth Gathering?
I think something that's especially fascinating about New Orleans is just the amount of richness in their culture. And, you know, you hear a lot of talk about that. And even during the planning, too, it was pretty evident that the National Youth Gathering Committee kind of had a relationship with New Orleans. I believe the mayor showed up at one point. I'm pretty sure that was the mayor. And just expressed great gratitude. And so I thought that was really cool and valuable.
And so now that the location has been chosen, the theme has been set, and I guess should we have a drum roll to announce the theme? What is the theme for the 2016 gathering?
The theme for the gathering is in Christ alone. And then in our sub-themes and things that maybe we can talk about more, we're going to connect to then kind of a triennial theme that's going on in the LCMS, which is STAND.
Uh-huh.
And so that will be developed through our sub-themes that come out of In Christ Alone. But that's the basic theme for the gathering. So we're really excited about that. It's just how it fits with the Reformation celebration coming up and everything.
Absolutely. And very fitting for, it fits right in with this week as well here as we're talking about the second article of the Creed, who is Jesus and what has he done for us? In Christ alone. What does that theme, what does that mean for us? What is that going to mean in the gathering?
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's going to be a lot of great connections for us through the program of the gathering and our pre-gathering resources too. And certainly as we reflect on this overall theme too of stand, certainly we're in a world that's going to speak a lot to what we should stand for or stand against. And so here we have an opportunity to talk about it's in Christ we stand, and it's because of Christ, what he's done for us, mm-hmm. that we have the ability to stand. And so really, we're really, you know, being held up by him. There was an image that we used in our devotional time of really Christ holding us up, and it's he who stands, and it's in him then who we stand. And also the great with being at something like a youth gathering, we stand together as well, that we have the cloud of witnesses mm-hmm. along with us, that we're able to be supported in our faith. And so we'll have those strong connections certainly at the gathering.
For the students, for Morgan and Zachary, as you were part of the team that in developing this theme, how did that process work? Morgan, what did that process look like?
Well, basically, for us, it was a really awesome opportunity somehow that fell into our laps, blessing by God, obviously. But yeah, we were just kind of in on everything, and Zach and I, we learned a lot about, just the word stand in general. That was kind of like a hyper theme, if you will, that they started out with. And then we moved on to In Christ Alone. And it was just really awesome to see in the process of literally 8 hours, a theme came pretty much starting from scratch. So it was a really awesome experience and opportunity.
Zach, how did that, what was that process like for you in being a part of developing the theme?
It was honestly really nice to have our opinions considered and just be a part of the group. And we were essentially sectioned off into our tables, but we were all together in one room. And so, you know, it was just really great to be able to contribute to the conversation and be able to talk about that. And people were very encouraging, very excited to have us there. And to us, you know, it was a complete privilege and an honor to be there. You know, everyone treated us as if we were royalty or something. And,
you know, that's true.
It was just incredible, you know, great group of people. So,
and Mark, this is just a small, I mean, the sampling that we have today is just a small portion of the people that come together to plan for this National Youth Gathering. Who was involved in developing the theme for the National Youth Gathering?
Right. So we got together with, it's one of those things. It's an interesting piece. I'm glad there's people that are much better at this than I am, with these creative processes of taking all this information and, you know, and like I think it was Morgan said, you know, in 8 hours, essentially, we came up with a theme for this event. And so it was really taken some time of some gathering planners that have had experience with a number of events and have seen what worked with themes, what didn't, what did we learn from, you know, maybe points that we need to push more or maybe step back a little bit. We had locals from New Orleans, mm-hmm. And so people that were there in 2010 as well, some were, some weren't. So they were able to see how we believe the theme then was played out in the city. And certainly, too, then we had our youth ministry staff and then our great students from Concordia, Nebraska, and their student advisor as well, which was great.
And what takes place at a national youth gathering that this theme is going to, the theme In Christ Alone and Stand are all
right.
going to play a part in? What types of things happen in a national youth gathering?
We're going to be down there from July 16th to the 20th in New Orleans. So essentially it's 5 days. There's 3 full days and then kind of 2 shoulder days, if you will, which we do what we call our dome events. So we'll be in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. We do at least 5 of those events. We're still figuring all that out for sure. One of those will be our Divine Service Worship Service that will take part that we always have at the gathering. And then the rest are times of, when we're in the dome, is times of basically community building amongst the large group when we have everyone together, time of Bible study. We have keynote speakers that speak during that time as well. And so then it's just really a great chance for them to see the larger church in action and connect to one another. So we do that every day. Then during the 3 full days as well, we have serving events. In 2010, we sent out 12,000 people into the community of New Orleans. Wow. We're hoping for something similar. Certainly our local people told us that when we were there in 2010, they were kind of wrapping up Katrina relief efforts. And so now we're really moving into sustainability. It's a large city, so there's still plenty of opportunities to serve. And the city's just been so gracious to us when on our return as well, that we're really looking forward to a lot of opportunities to reach out to the community and serve. At the same time, we serve at the convention center. We do in-kind offerings for needs in the New Orleans area, as well as we package 300,000 meals down in San Antonio. And so that'll be probably a part of this event coming up too. And then along with the days too, that then we have workshop sessions on all sorts of subjects of the faith. And so no doubt we're going to be talking about this stand theme about what, as Lutheran Christians, as baptized children of God, what do we stand for and how do we stand in a way that it serves our neighbor? And so we're going to be looking forward to how that develops in our workshops and in our Bible study time, as well as we have, you know, certainly like a hands-on learning floor and things like that too, where our exhibitors come in a lot, our recognized service organizations, Concordia University System. And so that way they are able to engage with our young people and adults as well. So that happens throughout the day and then again culminating with the Dome event at night.
Approximately how many youth and leaders, how many people are typically at a gathering like this?
Sure. So we have our you know, kind of normal participants, which are our adult and youth participants from congregations. And so that's a total of about 22,000 plus. So it's roughly about 18,000 youth and about 4,000 plus adults that come from our congregations. Then on top of it, this is only the largest youth event in our church body, but essentially that's also our largest adult gathering as well. So we have workshops for adults as well about their vocations, not only as being adult leaders, but certainly in their everyday vocations. At the same time, it's also as these two young people were a part of our Young Adult Volunteer Corps and other groups of volunteers that come in. And so really there's another 1,000 people that are there to support the event. And so it's just amazing to watch the body of Christ work and serve one another in that way, even inside the event, let alone outside the event, into the community of New Orleans.
And I want to go back to something you mentioned as part of the gathering, a community building in the large group. How do you build community in a large group of this size and this number? How do you build a community with over 20,000 people?
Absolutely. Well, we luckily have and we're blessed with have very creative planners who do that. So really, you can imagine, if you've been to a large event, whether it's a concert or whether it's maybe a sporting event, that there are ways in which you're able to have fun and build community that way. But then eventually what it comes down to is how we do it is that through our speakers, through opportunities to sing songs and hymns together, is that you see how as God's people, we are able to stand together and be His people together. And so that we're able to build that community. And then what's great too about being something at a youth gathering is you see throughout the days too, how you're able to go out and serve together and the difference that these young people make in the lives of so many people on every day of their life as they serve out in their vocations.
Zachary, in your participation in National Youth Gatherings before, what has been the highlight of the National Youth Gathering for you?
Oh, that's a very tough question. I think one of the great things for me was always going to the Mass events and just, I guess, having it put in perspective how many believers you're surrounded by. And it was always incredibly impactful to see, you're worshiping with 25,000 other people in this giant arena. And I just think, like Mark said, they do a really good job at tying things together and making those services very cohesive. And that's always been very moving for me.
So, Mark, is this a great cloud of witnesses?
Absolutely. Oh, it's amazing to see the young people serve and to see those that are there as servant leaders is just amazing.
Morgan, how about you? What in your involvement in the National Youth Gathering in the past, what's been the highlight for you?
Honestly, I agree with Zach. As a participant in 2010, it was incredible. I mean, I'd been dealing with some stuff the year 2010 before I went to the gathering, and then going to the gathering, God really used, especially the Mass events, just to get to my heart and work through me. And it was awesome being I come from a small hometown church we probably have 100 in our congregation, probably about 10 in our youth group. So I just being in a arena with so many people that believe the same thing as me, and especially on the last day, taking communion with that many people. It was just a very incredible experience. And then also as a young adult volunteer in 2013, it was awesome to, I pretty much worked in a ball pit all day long in one of the centers. So it was just fun to see just the youth and how fired they got about God and everything. So it was awesome.
Mark, with the theme that you have announced, that this team has announced. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? The theme in Christ alone and mm-hmm. stand, where does the stand theme come from?
The stand piece came from, there was a lot of discussion, here probably, I guess, at the LCMS level, as well as I think some other entities within the church, talking about what is the church going to do in 2017 when we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that kind of started the discussion about, as you probably may have talked about or know, you know, we've got an LCMS convention, kind of the business end of the church that will mm-hmm. be taking place in 2016 too. And certainly we knew we had our dates coming up. And so the initial conversation was just, are those the dates we're going to look at, and what is the church going to do to commemorate the 500th anniversary? So still a lot of questions out there. And certainly, two local congregations are going to have their own celebrations as well. And so what kind of to take a step back from that a little bit, we said, okay, if we don't know those details yet, at the very least, we can kind of, from a thematic standpoint, start to rally the ministries of the church and the events of the church to point us to 2017. So Stand came out late, probably January, just before our meeting, actually, mm-hmm. as we kind of got our hands on it and some of the scriptural pieces to it, to kind of be a guiding framework for us as we considered the 2016 gathering and then what would be taking place in 2017. So we're excited about ways in which the gathering will be able to point us to the next summer, in which youth and young adults and adults will be able to be engaged in that celebration as well. So we kind of had that as a backdrop. And then from there, you know, we spent time in God's Word. Dr. Joel Lambauer, who's the theological advisor for the youth gathering, and he's the executive director for Commission on Theology and Church Relation, which he brings a unique perspective. He's in the middle of these theological conversations that happen at a very high level, to where he knows the trends. He knows where what people are really wrestling with as we bring the gospel into the world. And so he's able to bring a great connection to God's Word, and as we as the youth gathering communicate the gospel, not only to young people, but to the church. And so that's really an exciting part of what we do. So he led us through a scriptural study of Stand to start. And really, I think Zachary Morgan might be able to correct me. After really hearing his presentation, already there was kind of sparks of this in Christ alone. We have to be in Christ alone because of that's how we stand, is for what how Christ stood for us at the cross and how he holds us up. And so that was really where we kind of focused on. So now we will be developing that into future resources. The other thing, usually at this time, we announce a kind of a theme verse that we rally around. We did not do this time. We're still going to work on that a little bit, but we spent a lot of time in the book of Philippians. Uh-huh. So that's kind of where we focused a lot of our time and energy about what Paul had to say through the Holy Spirit to that community in that time. And so that's kind of where there'll be a lot of resources about Paul's words and certainly what Scripture has to say to us about only in Christ do we stand as our Savior and the Savior of the whole world.
Morgan, your thoughts on the theme?
I said this when we were at the meeting, but I absolutely love it. I think I love how it has Christ in it. We discussed it before. There's never been a theme in the past where Christ or any reference to Jesus has been in the theme, except for Amigos de Cristo, which was in Spanish. But it's nice to have that in the theme, and I think it's something that youth can really, grasp onto and take home and use in their lives after that. So I love it.
Very good. Zachary, your thoughts?
Just like Morgan said, I mean, especially with the coming of the celebration of the Reformation, kind of understanding it as like a back to basics, this is like the center, let's not forget, you know, being what the Reformation was, I guess. And I can't express enough how important it is to just have Christ be the central foundation to everything. You know, to all of our focus, and you know, if our efforts aren't going towards Christ, then where are they going? And I think just as a whole, in Christ alone, and understanding that theme of stand, and that you know, it's on Christ whom we stand. I just think that's an incredible witness to a lot of people.
Absolutely, it's a solid theme, and in the face of pluralism and everything else that we face and that our young people face today, it's a great theme. So I thank you all and the rest of the members of the planning team for coming back to down to a clear theme, a clear message for this next National Youth Gathering in 2016. We've been talking today with students from Concordia University, Nebraska, Morgan Vitosh and Zachary Visconti. Thank you so much for being our guests this morning.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
And also,
yeah, thank you.
We've also been talking with Reverend Mark Kiesling. He's Associate Director of LCMS Youth Ministry and Director of the National Youth Gathering Program. Mark, thanks for being our guest again on Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with Pam Numala. She's Editor of VBS and Family Materials at Concordia Publishing House about resources your family can use for the Lenten season. Stick around for more Faith and Family right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
In many areas of life, science is rushing forward, sometimes in breathtaking directions, without medical ethics to protect society from the side effects. Doctors in Sweden have transplanted wombs into 9 women. They were either born without wombs or had them removed because of health issues. The womb donors are their mothers or other relatives. Doctors now hope the women can become pregnant and carry their babies to term. The wombs weren't hooked up to their fallopian tubes, so the pregnancies will have to be assisted with in vitro fertilization. Now think about this. Some of the women who get pregnant will be using the same wombs they once occupied. It gives a whole new meaning to the term hand-me-downs. Is it just me, or is there an ick factor here?
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
During the last few days on Law and Gospel, we spoke on a number of issues along with our co-hosts, the Reverend Mark Smith and the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. On the next Law and Gospel, which is an open mic occasion, you have the opportunity to continue that discussion or ask any question on your mind of a theological nature.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Who was your hero when you were a kid?
Neil Armstrong or Louis Armstrong?
Roberto Clemente or Walter Cronkite? Rosa Parks or Sally Ride?
You're the right age to do something you can be remembered for.
Register to become an organ and tissue donor.
Even if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, or beyond, any age is the right age to donate the gift of life.
Learn how at organdonor.gov or call 1-866-99-DONATE. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, the investigation continues.
If the Green Ring had been operating out of Odyssey for a long time, there might be something in the newspaper archives at the library.
Matthew and I can do that.
But a certain carnival proprietor has other concerns.
Two Whitakers and that detective Pullhouse.
Yes.
Get them out of the way.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
Two Republican congressmen have delivered Ash Wednesday speeches condemning persecution of the world's Christians. Congressman Bradley Byrne said in the weeks leading up to Easter,
"When we remember the death, crucifixion of Jesus, and then the feast of Easter, his resurrection, sadly, in too many parts of the world, Christians will not be allowed to openly profess their faith."
He said the U.S. should do more to promote religious freedom.
"Not only should we state that we're going to stand up for the protection of religious minorities around the world that are persecuted, but in countries like Iraq and like Egypt, where we send hundreds of millions of dollars in aid, we should demand it."
Congressman Frank Wolf said in addition to government action,
"I believe it is critical for the faith community in the West, specifically the church in America, to find its voice on behalf of our marginalized and persecuted brothers and sisters abroad."
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, March 6th, and we are getting ready to talk about great stuff, great resources that your family can use during the season of, and really, really throughout the whole church year, throughout the whole year, to support your family as you continue your walk and your study of God's Word. And so joining us in studio today is Pamela Numala. She's editor of VBS and Family Materials at Concordia Publishing House. Pamela, thanks so much for joining us today here in studio.
So delighted to be here.
It's nice. And you came with, I'm pretty sure you brought the whole warehouse with you when you came today. You brought tons of resources to share with us today. And I don't know how to convey some of the artwork that we're going to talk about today, but hopefully we'll do so in words.
Yes. Well, visuals are so important for families, and they're just such an important aspect of developing faith and those conversations.
Very good. And for our listeners today, if you have questions, you can email us or you can give us a call. The email is family@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions. Or you can give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Well, one of the key pieces that is fairly new is it just really just released not too long ago, and that is Family Time. And I know I got a copy of it not too long ago, and you brought some with you today. But tell us, I think we first mentioned it when National Lutheran Schools Week was coming up. We talked about it because one of the devotions for National Lutheran Schools Week came from Family Time. So tell us a little bit about Family Time.
Well, Family Time has been developed as the whole book is around encouraging family conversations around things of the faith. And so the way the book is structured, it's structured according to the Bible narrative. Mm-hmm. So from beginning with Genesis through Paul in the early church, and it also then extends into special occasion devotions. And it's just so it's just a wonderful, broad resource for the narratives. They have each on the Bible story end, each devotion has the Bible story text, the reference, if you want to go directly to the source, the Bible, mm-hmm. a picture, and a Bible verse that contributes to that. The other thing that is so wonderful is that there are essential Christian questions for every devotion that relate to who we are, mm-hmm. as God's children, and we should all be able to, questions come at us, and we should be able to have conversation around the answers that God provides us for us in His Word, and the way we want to live that Word out in our life.
You've done a nice job here with presenting something that's simple, that, as you said, that's aimed at encouraging conversations around the Word and what God has given us. So on anywhere you open up the book, you look on the left side, there's the Bible story, and like you said, the scripture reference. So if you want to go straight to the text, this is, what would you call the Bible story in here? Is it maybe a paraphrase, or how would you describe it?
I would say we love staying as close to the biblical text as possible, but mm-hmm. making it accessible to children and families.
So you have the Bible story on the left, a beautiful illustration there as well. So the pictures, and you start off with, who is Jesus? Jesus has the words of eternal life, and then on the right hand side, the right hand page, you have a question and a devotion as well. And it presents some conversation starters, if you will, for the family. So you read the Bible story and you can pose the question, read the devotion. Is that how it's designed to work out? Maybe the dinner table or, maybe at breakfast or nighttime before bed.
Yeah, I think that's one of the opportunities of Lent is it gives you a chance to restart mm-hmm. that or the family devotion experience, and maybe to try, if you've been doing devotions, to try something new and different during those 40 days. But you can read the scripture mm-hmm. and then talk about the devotion and the question, and it ends with a prayer, which is always just really, it does a great job of summing that up. But if that's you know, hey, we all have have time constraints. So it is possible to go through the entire book just reading and talking about the Bible story, or reading and talking about the questions and the devotion, mm-hmm. the devotion thought there. And those are also, it's a very, very rich, flexible book.
So. Do you have a particular favorite in here that you want to highlight today?
Well, since there, more than one.
I was gonna say, you can't have a favorite, I suppose. But.
I'm the one who brought a bag full of books. Well, you know, one of the things, you know, on the Thursday after Ash Wednesday, I was looking at the David repents, and especially the Christian question there, what does it mean to confess our sins? And that is, you know, such a theme in Lent. It is because of our sin that Jesus came and suffered and died to pay the price that we could for our sins, that God in his love said, hey, I'm going to send Jesus to be the mediator, to be the savior. And so I think reflecting on that and talking about that as a family, and what I love about this devotion is it talks about a brother and sister and how the sister goes in her room and slams the door after an argument, and how sin separates us. But then Joel says, you know, I've said I'm sorry, and that never works, you know. And and so he began to think about forgiveness and ask his sister to please forgive me, that he'd asked God, and now I'm asking you. And the sister responds, I forgive you, Joel. Please forgive me too for the things I said. That, you know, thinking about brothers and sisters, I don't know that might necessarily just flow like that. But having to be able to have that conversation in your family about the words we could say, because, you know, a lot of times we just say, sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we really aren't. But God's forgiveness and our forgiving one another is a gift from God. That's why Jesus came, to give us that forgiveness of sins that we receive from God, and then we extend to others in his name.
The words "I forgive you" are much more powerful than "it's okay" or "it's all right."
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's all right.
Yeah.
This devotion is really, it's written out almost like a short drama, if you will. You know, I hate you, Heather screamed. I never want to talk to you again. You know, that's the point that really grabs your attention as you start the story. But as you said, you get to the point of confession and forgiveness here in this devotion as well.
Yeah. There's a lot of really, I found the devotions to be really kind of true to life, things that you could imagine happening in your home, things true to life that you'd love to talk about, maybe around a third person happening to somebody else, and then apply those lessons. Well, Heather should have done this, or Joel should have done this, and say, well, let me think about that. What should Pam be doing? Those are great conversations to have. A great conversations for kids, brothers and sisters to have, moms and dads to have, and especially as, you know, in our vocations as family, you know, we our first opportunity for Christ to work through us is in those vocations at home, and how we serve in those vocations there, how Christ works through us there, is the opportunity that he will use again in our neighborhood and beyond.
Dr. Shirley Morgenthaler, she's been a guest on here before, had mentioned that in her research on children and brain research and faith understanding, that when children have compassionate and caring parents, when they experience that compassion and caring relationship with parents, it makes them more likely to understand a compassionate and caring God you know, as they continue to grow and study God's word, to help them understand that. Now, granted, that's simply understanding. That's not faith itself, but faith understanding. And so that makes sense. As you were saying, the vocations that we're given, that's that first interaction that God gives us to share his mercy and his love with one another.
Yes.
At the end of the devotion, I really like this. Talk about it. You pose questions. Think about it, a disagreement you've had with a friend, family member, or even an enemy. How did you handle it? Is there a separation between you and that person? Is it time to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me? So it poses those questions that draw us back to what God has given us. Has God given us forgiveness? Most certainly. And therefore, we can ask for forgiveness of others and grant forgiveness to others.
Right. And in the sacrificial nature of Lent, you know, which focuses on Christ's sacrifice for us, you know, can we sacrifice our pride? Can mm-hmm. we sacrifice, you know, our I was right to bring ourselves closer to people that we're separated from by mm-hmm. by sin, whosever fault it is. So it's that's really awesome. I also, one of the things that's great for this as a Lent resource is that it has devotions for Lent and then also for Holy Week in the special occasions. It has Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter too. Just as you know, special opportunities. I just really think that these are devotions families mm-hmm. could revisit on a yearly basis and would learn each year. One of the things that's great in family devotions and in the Lenten season is it's an opportunity for families to stop, and we're busy. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, things just keep rolling and we're sure. just rolling with it, you know. But when you stop and pause and you look back to see what God has done, you know, what he's done for us, what he is doing, and what he promises to do, and how faithful his promises are. And we look at that, and we look, especially as parents, as we look at our children and how they've grown in faith, and how God has worked in their hearts and through us and in their lives. And then we look forward and we say, okay, what should we keep doing? And what can we do next? What mm-hmm. can we do as parents, as a family? What is God calling us to do, you know, through our family, in our vocations, to serve him? And so I think Lent especially is a chance, as we reflect on what Christ has done for us and how much God loves us, you know, a chance to reflect and make tweaks, you know, in what we do, and to continue good practices, establish new 40 days. My goodness, 40 days is enough time to establish a good habit.
That's right. What, 21 days, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think,
yeah,
to establish
yeah.
a habit.
But people like me need 40.
But what a great habit to establish, to read God's word together as a family, to receive his gifts, to confess our sin, and also to confess faith yes. as he's given it to us. Throughout this book, there are questions that are the devotions address questions. I noticed in the back of the book here, you kind of you have a listing of those the answers, or I mean the not the answers, the how they address questions, what questions these devotions address.
Yes, and actually, this part of the index is one of my favorite parts of the book, because I love these questions, and while they are not specifically identified with the six chief parts, you see mm-hmm. the six chief parts mm-hmm. all over these questions. They're not addressed in an order like in all about the Lord's Prayer or all about the Ten Commandments, because it's driven by the biblical narrative, and those questions are placed with appropriate Bible stories. But it's a great opportunity to, as an adult, I love looking at these questions and going, I know the answer to this one. You know, I think I've got this one down. I can probably learn more, but, you know, but this one,
It's kind of like an FAQ for parents teaching their children about God's word, really.
Yes.
As I'm looking through it, you know, what is God's will? In times of disappointment and uncertainty, how do I know God will help me? As I look through this thinking, this is really kind of these are the questions kids are going to ask. You know, my little six-month-old, once he starts talking, these are some of the questions he's going to start asking. And so having this list of questions, I think, could be really handy to a parent.
Absolutely. And we know that in one of my favorite family faith development Bible stories is when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and they brought the 12 stones out and they put them in the order by God's design, as God told Joshua. And then God said, "So now, when you walk by here and when your children ask you this question, what do these stones mean? Here's what you say." And what they were to testify to was God, their deliverer, God, their savior, God who delivered them with a mighty arm. And so what it says to me every time is God designed our kids to ask questions. God placed them in families so that they would have parents who would have those conversations, mm-hmm. providing them with answers from God's word and exploring and really saying, okay, here's what God says. Here's what our life is. How do we bring these together? What do we do? But yes, I also think that it is so important to bring up questions to kids and talk about the answers. That you can lay it out for them, mm-hmm. but that's a different way to learn than discussing questions and looking at. I love the story based of mm-hmm. those devotions because it poses a possibility that gives you an opportunity for great discussion. Always going back to what does God say? What is His will for us? And then you can also see how God's will, you can reflect back on those questions and say, wow, look, God's will word is true. This works.
And not just parents and children, but also grandparents and children. This would be a great piece for grandparents to have, especially if they get to spend time regularly with their grandchildren, you know, to have that special time with grandma and grandpa to read these stories and devotions together.
Yeah, and they could also do it long distance.
Oh, that's true.
You know, if each had a book, mm-hmm. they could read and discuss and mm-hmm. FaceTime or Skype or right. whatever, you know, whatever things. Being close mm-hmm. does not mean that.
That's true. Good point.
Lots of opportunity.
We should send one to Grandma and Grandpa in Florida.
You should.
Well, so. And we always make sure we leave stuff like this out on the table when Grandma and Grandpa here in St. Louis come to visit so they can spend time with our little guy and reading the story Bible. We try to leave that out so they can have time with him as well.
That's, you know, that all those conversations and those opportunities, they're so important. And I do think, you know, that what a great opportunity for families to have a place where your story Bible is out, mm-hmm. Where your devotion time is out, or the family time book or other things you use, where there's a cross, mm-hmm. where there's a candle that's lit. All those things that make that devoted time, the time where you and God you and your family and God are together studying His word, you know, where it's a set apart time, just like in our worship services.
Absolutely. So. Well, we've got a few minutes left, and I know that you have, like I said, you brought the whole warehouse with you today. What are some other resources you want to point us to that might be useful during the season of Lent?
Well, we have a couple of different lines of things. We have a Remember Me line that has an adult devotion book, and then a really cool tabletop for kids that is a cross and it has stickers with it. There's a similar piece called A Living Hope, and that has another table tent. And what I love about the table tent is that it has the pictures of the Lenten story and of that last week of Jesus' life. There's also some really cool magnets.
Oh, cool.
I love magnets.
Because we all know everybody hangs out around the fridge.
Yes, yes, yes. And just different pictures of the eyewitnesses in Remember Me, there's even a grape-scented thing to
air freshener.
Yes, air freshener to because we know sensory is a big has great impact on learning.
Sure, so hang it in cool. the car, and then you have a conversation piece in the car, something to talk about.
Or when you smell the grape, you go, let's pull out that devotion. So, also there's for adults, there's the Miracles of Lent daily devotion, and I also brought along Ordering Our Days in His Peace, which is our book around the church year. It's while it's not, it wouldn't be necessarily 40 days worth. It's an awesome thing to go back over where do those? I always love the questions. Where do those ashes come from?
Ah, so, good question. I think I know. Do you want to give it away?
Well, I know that the ashes come from off the tradition is that they come from the palms from the previous Palm Sunday that you carefully save and do not put in plastic.
Yes, you don't want
to dry.
You want them to dry. You don't want any bug infestations
or any mold. And then they are burned and then crushed for the ashes for
Ash Wednesday.
Yes.
And do not mix them with oil.
No.
Use only water if you're going to use them for imposing ashes.
I at one time in a place that I won't recall the trauma, I did mix it with oil and we imposed on the entire school and all the teachers said, "Don't do that again, Mrs. Numala." And I never have.
When you mix ashes with oil, you have a basic recipe for soap, right? so you have this great piece that, what was the name of this book again?
Ordering Our Days in His Peace.
And it takes us through the church year?
The whole church year, yep. Yep. But in the time of Easter, it begins with a discussion of Lent and why 40 days and why the color of violet, the practice of no longer singing Alleluia, no longer singing Gloria in Excelsis, and then the imposition of ashes, fasting, giving things up for Lent, the idea of midweek services, and then Holy Week and goes through lots of information about the violet and scarlet pyramids and vestments and the reading the Passion from the Gospels, which is often part of midweek services in my experience, and the practices around Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday.
So it really is kind of an explanation of why we do all these things, and giving the reasons for these traditions, whether they be traditions that have passed down for generations, some maybe that have are not as used as much or not as common today, but... Wonderful. A great resource for answering those questions, whether they're little kid questions or big kid questions, more like me. So asking those questions, why do we do these things?
Yes.
Wonderful. And we've got about a little over a minute left. There's one other piece here that I just love the artwork on.
The book is called...
To All Eternity.
Yes. and it is just... Awesome. It's the subtitle is The Essential Teachings of Christianity, and it's recommended both as a regular devotion book, but also to be used. There's 40 devotions for Lent. And it takes you through the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Means of Grace, and then also through daily devotion where Luther's teaching about the family devoted life is included. What is a real key of this is that there's a key feature is artwork. The devotions are all based on a wide variety of artwork, including some great Cranach paintings.
Right, it looks like artwork from all generations, I mean, throughout history. Some very historical pieces in here as well. Pam, you have put together a nice set of materials to help our families through the Lenten season. I know that, you know, Lent is already started, but that doesn't mean it's too late to get into a good practice during this season.
Jump in right where you are.
Well, we've been talking with Pamela Numla. She is editor of VBS and Family Materials at Concordia Publishing House. Pam, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Wonderful. We hope to have you back again soon.
Okay.
Coming up next, we've got Moments of Assurance right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.